Coffee Maker, Fettuccine and a Silver Ring by The Highway Woman. Recorded for Leviticus Slide. The idea comes to Jared out of the blue, as such ideas often do. It's an ordinary morning, exactly like 100 others before and still to come. Thinking that as he shuffles out of the bedroom, he wipes sleep out of his eyes and snickers at how girly he sounds. Like he should be a gaunt poet in an attic, instead of a big-ass Texas boy. Or so he knows Jensen would say, laughing at him. Anyway, it's true. Today is a day with nothing to separate it from any other. He wanders into their kitchen, hissing at the cold bite of the floor under his bare feet, wondering if maybe he should look into that whole awesome heating system where they install pipes running constant hot water to get those uncarpeted tiles and glossy wood planks all warmed up and toasty. Hey, toast. Yum. He yawns, jaw creaking, scratches over the slightest stubble on his chin, and decides toast is first up on the breakfast menu, followed later by scrambled eggs with salsa on them, thick-cut bacon and home fries. Maybe some cinnamon rolls. They've got a tube of the kind Jensen pretends turns his stomach, but which Jared knows he actually loves with an almighty passion, as all he has to do is turn his back on the hot pan fresh out of the oven, and when he glances over his shoulder, Jensen will freeze, guilty-eyed and sheepish, his finger still in his mouth where he's been licking off smears of transparent white icing. Then he'll roll his eyes and laugh, knowing he's been caught out. And if Jared's lucky, Jensen will trail his fingertip through the melted icing on his snaffled cinnamon roll and hold it out in silent offering for Jared to taste. Jared sways, caught up in the awesome mental image. The morning wood he'd calmed down enough to take a piss comes back with a vengeance. And he's not the kind of guy who gets finicky about happening to be in the kitchen when he gets horny. Kitchens get messy with all kinds of stuff. That's what Clorox wipes are for, cleaning up splatters. And it's not like he hasn't fucked Jensen over the smooth pine breakfast table more than once. 9 times. He's been counting. He palms his dick, grunting contentedly, thinking maybe he'll go back to bed and burrow under the covers with Jen, poke him with his icy toes, and grab a hold of him when he hollers and jumps. And then roll on top of him and coax him awake with a 69, or just a 6 either way. Sounds like a plan to him, to keep body and soul together till after he's got Jensen up. Jared sneaks a slice of raisin bread from the bread box. Seriously? He'd asked his sister Megan when she bought the cherry wood box decorated with tin covered in punched out holes. Who actually owns one of these? To which she'd replied, "You do now, dumbass." The bread ought to hold him, he thinks. Good, soft, chewy raisin bread, laced thick with cinnamon. He takes great hungry bites, finishing the whole thing in 3 chomps. Wipes his sticky fingers on his boxes and thinks maybe he'll take Jensen a slice of his own. Then changes his mind. Coffee before food. So he'll make coffee. It's when he's slouching by the espresso maker, still yawning, tasting cinnamon when he breathes in and out, that the light bulb comes on, slowly warming to a glow over his head. He's waiting for the coffee to brew, inhaling appreciatively of the strong aroma climbing up his nose, thinking happily about the way Jensen wakes up when a strong mug of coffee is offered to him, a puzzled frown morphing to a small, sleepy smile, his hand lingering on Jared's when he accepts the offering. When he pours the coffee, the light bulb over his head reaches the full wattage of its incandescent radiance, and the fuzzy thought crystallizes into perfect clarity. He wants to spend the rest of his life with Jensen. He's a Texas boy, and even under the circumstances, deciding he wants forever with someone means there's only one thing to do about it. Jared's not sure how you go about doing something like this. After all, he's never before. People expected it of him when he and Sandy were tight, asking him every now and again if he'd gone looking at rings, his mother hinting about grandchildren, but he didn't feel ready somehow. And then there was a CW casting call, and the guy he remembered having a huge crush on back in the days when he watched Days with his mum shaking his hand and smiling at him. And then he knew he wasn't ever going to ask Sandy. Didn't act on it at the time. Stayed with her for a good few years afterwards. But she knew, he thinks. She kissed him on the cheek when he finally told her he had to give this a try. Said he was so, so sorry and he didn't want to hurt her. Kissed him on the cheek and smiled and said, "Good luck." And then there was Jensen's hand in his, and Jensen's lips warm and parting for him under his own, and Jensen's dozy smiles in the morning, and Jensen's fuzzy electric fire under all his bare skin when he's arched and moaning, begging for more. "Really," he thinks as he gets dressed, favourite old jeans and a t-shirt, and no socks in his battered sneakers. He ought to have figured this out a long time ago. Still, he's a firm believer in making up for lost time. And if he doesn't know how to do something, he studies it until he figures out a plan. Asking others always helps, and as long as Jensen doesn't clue in before Jared's got this straightened out, no problem. "It has to be a surprise," Jared explains, all in earnest, into the mouthpiece of his BlackBerry. He liked Sam's phone so much, he kinda keeps to that model even now, 3 years after the Impala drove off into the sunset one last time, with the war over and both soldiers still alive to fight another day. "Unless that's too gushy?" "Gushy?" the telemarketer asks him. They got to talking after he told her, nah, he couldn't really use aluminium siding on the condo they're living in during the off-season. She told him her name's Carrie, and she's as sweet as pie. "You mean, is it too romantic?" "Yeah. Don't want him to crack up laughing while I'm down on one knee." "Seriously? You're going to kneel and everything?" She sounds envious. "Okay, if it was me, and even if I was the butchest lesbian on the planet, I'd still melt for that kind of proposal. Some stuff doesn't ever go out of style." "So I shouldn't worry about going over the top?" She hmms. "Within reason. Oh, and about the surprise, I agree. As long as you're sure he'll say yes, then definitely spring it on him. You're going to remember the look on his face for the rest of your life. You don't want to miss that." "Should I have a camera with me?" "That might be pushing your luck." Jared adds her to his Christmas card list after he hangs up. Nice lady. Chad's in town, and when in doubt over something he can't consult Jensen about, and when his mum's not awake yet, and his sister's off on some vacation with her friends. Okay, Chad's not the best person to talk to about this at all. But he's in town, and Jared would want to hang out with him anyway, so... They're at a tiny hole-in-the-wall diner Jensen found a few months back, the kind of joint Sam and Dean would have been right at home in. Bright yellow vinyl booths patched together with blue duct tape, menus printed on copier paper, and coffee that makes Jensen moan like he's getting his dick sucked. Actually, that usually happens on the way back home from a breakfast here. Anyway, the food's as good as the coffee. Huge mounds of fluffy scrambled eggs, homemade salsa that bites back, and pancakes light as foam on a cappuccino. They keep real maple syrup now, just for him, as his favourite waitress Louisa says, ruffling up his hair. Chad doesn't appreciate it as much as Jared, given how he seems to be still drunk from the night before. That's discouraging. But on the other hand, he's at the happy-go-lucky stage of drunkenness, which won't last for long. But while it does, he loves the world and everyone in it, and he might be okay with thinking about what Jared plans to do. "So, what's the best way to propose to a guy?" Jared asks, following that up with a huge forkful of chorizo omelette and half a butter-drenched biscuit as a chaser. Chad's not as nice about the whole thing as telemarketer Carrie was. After having to haul Chad out of there by the collar of his coat, apologising to the shocked waitress and short order cook all the way, he seriously considers taking Chad off the guest list. He thinks he'll have to plan after Jared says yes. He doesn't consider it for long, but for a minute there, he's seriously tempted. He tries calling Chris next, and Steve picks up the phone instead. Steve's out, says he didn't have a choice after that photograph of him and Chris got out. He always growls this at Chris when the subject comes up and Chris rolls his eyes. Chris says he isn't gay himself and gives Jared the devil's glare when he tries to point out the flaw in that logic. They're not close, still, and maybe never will be, but he can trust Chris to know what's what with Jensen when no one else does. Although Chris is right there and can be heard snarling about people who call before noon, Jared talks to Steve first anyway. He figures there's no harm in getting a whole bunch of opinions. If they differ, he can pick and choose from the ones that sound right. Steve's a quiet guy regardless of what he's thinking on the inside. Hard to get a read on, especially when you can't see his face. Jared finds himself chewing on his thumbnail while he waits for Steve to process. In the background, he can hear Chris growling at Steve, wanting his chance to talk. Steve doesn't let that rush him. "I've got no idea," Steve says at last. "Here, talk to Chris before he chews my arm off to get to the phone." "What in the Sam hell is going on here?" Chris demands. But when Jared fills him in, he cackles out loud. He sounds tickled, not pissed, so Jared thinks that's a good sign. The beginnings of a knot of tension unravel in his chest, letting him breathe easy again. "You're serious?" "As anything, yeah." "Don't think anything is going to cut it with our boy." "My boy?" Chris grunts, and that's okay. He has Chad and Chris has Jensen. "Huh. Gave you the 'you break his heart and you're dead' speech a good while back. Don't need to cover that ground again, do I?"
"Hope not."
"Don't think so," Jared clarifies. "Oh, hang on a sec." He covers the mouthpiece of his phone and grins at the teenager behind the counter, her hair pulled back in a long tail under the Burger King visor she's wearing cockeyed on the top of her head. 3 whoppers, large fry, sweet tea, and onion rings. She punches in the order, eyeing him uncertainly. Jared returns to the phone call. "Chris, you still there?"
"What the fuck, boy? We're having this conversation while you're waiting in line for fast food?"
Yeah. Jared has to hold the phone away from his ear for a minute, waiting for Chris to stop howling with laughter.
"What?"
Nothing. Chris snickers between each syllable of denial.
"Might have known you'd be in the mood for a special sauce. Never mind me, okay?"
"It'll be a minute on the fries," the cashier tells him. "They're making some fresh." Jared nods amiably and steps to one end of the counter so the others in line behind him can place their orders. He's good to wait.
"Just, I don't know, I mean, what's involved in all this?"
Chris takes a moment to think.
"Hell, it's not like I've done this before, or at least not in a while."
"That you can remember," Steve scoffs in the background.
Chris ignores him.
"You need a ring, I guess. God knows you've got to have one of those, or you're never getting laid again."
"A big old rock, or? Good God, he's not Eva Gabor."
"Probably just a plain band," Steve suggests, apparently having picked up an extension somewhere in his and Chris's bachelor pad.
"Maybe what like Dean used to wear."
"Seems kinda plain." Jared's doubtful. "Aren't engagement rings supposed to be showy, or is that just for women?"
"Simple is usually best," Steve opines.
"Oh, and get him drunk before you ask," Chris adds. "Blast it out of his mind. Take him home and screw what remains of his brains out. That way, if he says no, you can fake him out in the morning and tell him he said yes.
What? No way!
Jared stung. You honestly think I'd... Pulling your chain, son. Go forth and blow a wad at the jewelry store. It's as close to a blessing as you'll ever get from Chris, and it keeps Jared all warm and fuzzy inside. All the way through his burgers and onion rings and the free apple pie the cashier slipped him for waiting patiently on his fries. He licks salt off his thumb and goes to look up jewelry stores in the phone directory.
Hey, finally!
Jensen snatches his menu from its appointed place beside his half-drunk glass of sweet iced tea and waves it at Jared.
Come on, Mr. Bottomless Pit. Where do you get off letting others starve to death waiting for you to show up?
Jared's really not going to tell Jensen he forgot. For one, because he's deathly embarrassed about flaking, considering what he's got on his mind. And for two, because he can't exactly tell Jensen what's got his mind occupied. At least not yet. He swerves the question by catching Jensen's hand and lifting it to his mouth, brushing the knuckles with a kiss.
Idiot.
Jensen says it with love, and no sideways glances or nervous flinches. Sit down and let's get this show on the road. I'm ravenous.
Really?
Jared sprawls on the Chili's wooden chair, letting his legs fall open good and comfortable. He hooks one ankle around Jensen's and hoods his eyes, tracing his lower lip with his tongue.
Aha, there's the small jump. It's like those dogs and the bells in that old story. It's awesome how easy he can get Jensen worked up. He does love how it never gets old between them, not even when it's familiar.
Don't start something you don't want to finish in public, Jensen says after a minute, in which Jared can tell he's seriously been arguing the point with himself. He'll make an exhibitionist out of Jensen yet. You wait and see. He nudges Jared's calf with the toe of his boot and frowns at the menu. You want to split a bowl of that killer hot chili?
God, do I love you, Jared thinks, leaning forward on his elbows.
Yeah, all right. Can we get some cheese straws too? And buffalo wings? Only if you brush your teeth afterwards. That hot wing sauce tastes like Jalapeno's ass after a minute or so. He peers into his glass. Hey, when the waitress comes back, remind me to ask if I can get a refill. Jared has a crazy moment of wondering about whether or not Jensen would accidentally swallow the ring nestled in a tiny black velvet box in his hip pocket, if he plunked it amongst the half-melted ice cubes at the bottom of the tea glass, or if he'd noticed the cool silver gleam next to his straw. Probably choke, he thinks with genuine regret, and settles back to await their appetizers. It's been a couple of hours since those whoppers, and he can just about taste the buffalo wing sauce now. Maybe Jensen will let him lick the smears off his chin.
Oh yeah.
They part ways for the afternoon when lunch is over. Jensen's heading for an all-afternoon meeting with an up-and-coming scriptwriter-producer team that might be the next viewer skew phenomenon. The way Jared understands it, they saw 10-inch hero, and according to Jensen, are about ready to barter their as-yet-unconceived firstborn for him to sign on. They don't have much money, but as Jensen points out, look what Kevin Smith did with Clerks. Jared asks, after lapping a dab of ranch dressings from Jensen's nose, those hot wings left behind, if Jen would put in a good word for him. He'd love to do some out-and-out comedy after that last Kincaid movie. God.
Yeah, no problem, Jensen said, holding back a sneeze.
Why did you lick my nose, you freak?
Because you taste good. Come here.
Jared makes a grab for him. Jensen snorts, delighted, and back stumbles out of reach.
Not in your life, Jay. I've got to get to work.
Spoil sport.
Yeah. You want me to bring anything home? Pizza or Chinese or whatever?
Home. Jared is never going to get tired of that meaning you and me and our place. Nah, I think I'm going to cook. Oh, God. Jensen loses control and sneezes. He laughs when he's got it back together, eyes crinkling at the corners. So I should bring home a full 9 courses and some cleaning supplies? Smartass. Jared grabs him successfully on the second attempt, lifts him right off his feet and lays one on him, a big Technicolor smooch that has half the late lunch crowd in Chili's whistling and applauding. Wait till after we eat, he whispers in Jensen's ear, the short hairs of Jen's sideburns tickling his lips. Gonna strip you naked and... Jensen's the most adorable shade of pink ever when Jared let him go. I cannot believe you talk like that in public, dork. So, I'll hold you to that, okay? I think it's more me holding you to. You love sending me off to meetings with a hard-on I can't do anything about, don't you? I truly do. See you around, what, 7? 7-ish. Jensen waggles his hand. And I'll bring beer. Nah, wine. Wine? 6 o'clock and the table's set with all the stuff they got for housewarming presents and never really used before. His mum is walking him through every step, her voice warm and tickled and reassuring through the hands-free he dug out and plugged in his ear. He's so nervous his hands tingle, clammy. Okay. He stands back and checks out the scene, listing aloud what he sees so Mama can tell him if he's missed anything. Candles. The candles are red and smell like Christmas. The holders are shaped like frogs and were a gift from Megan. They were all he could find, but they're so ugly they're cute. The plates you got from Grandma and passed on to me? The ones with the scalloped edges and the Rococo designs, right? Not the thick, plain ones. Jared stares down at the heavy, solid plates bare of any decoration. Oops. Don't worry, honey, you can change them out in no time at all. Keep going. Silverware. The good silverware. He knows that's right. He opened the Oneida box himself not 10 minutes ago. Wine glasses. Sweetheart, you hate wine, and if it's red, it'll give Jensen a headache. Crap, she's right. Oh, well, Jensen's the one bringing it home, and surely he won't buy red. I'll grin and bear it. Wine's romantic. His mama chuckles. You do have it so bad for him. Oh, Mama. I can hear you blushing all the way down in Texas. Candles, china, silver. Do you have flowers? Yep, he brightens. Got them at the corner store. Carnations, all colours. Oh, Lord, his Mama murmurs. She sounds like she's trying not to laugh. No, that's fine. All right. Music. I know you'll have that taken care of. Yeah, Steve emailed me some acoustic covers he did up this afternoon. What a sweet boy. You think he and Chris will ever... Not in a million years. Mama makes this little disappointed noise only women can do right. I'll keep hoping. And what else? What else? What are you wearing? What I wore out today. Oh, Jared, his mama coughs. Well, let's see here. What are you cooking? I haven't started yet. You haven't? When does he get home? Jared checks his watch. An hour? Oh, Jared. It's Megan who helps him throw together a decent meal right quick. She knows all sorts of tricks she learned at the dorms at Santa Fe U. Jared had no idea you could fix fettuccine in a coffee pot, although he has to do it twice, because the first batch tastes like Kenya AA. Megan makes him promise her he'll get Mike to swing by her dorm with a Sharpie to autograph absolutely anything her friends desire, before she agrees not to tell Jensen about that, and then reminds him step by step how to fix stir-fry. Coat balls of vanilla ice cream in graham cracker crumbs, and frosted flakes, and dunk them in hot oil. And at the last minute, she reminds him they need some vegetables. A can of green giant lima beans, and he calls it done. Are you sure this isn't too, I don't know, eclectic? He asks, rubbing his neck and eyeballing the spread of Italian mixed with Chinese, mixed with Mexican, mixed with generic Americana. Nah, she says airily, it's a smorgasbord. It's you. Jensen will love it. Besides, I don't know how to cook anything French, and it's too late to fix anything else now. Bye, Jared. She hangs up before he can tear into her for not telling him French was the way to go before he got Alfredo sauce hopelessly gummed up in the works of Jensen's cafetiere. Around 8 o'clock, he's feeling calm again. At last, when he hears a key turning in their lock and Jensen stumbles in, alight with creative fire and already chattering about the writer-producer and their movie. I asked about you, he goes on, taking off his coat and hanging it on the hook by the door. They totally lost it, man, in a good way. There's a part they thought would be perfect for you, and when I read it, wow, you're exactly right for this role. He turns and finally falls silent, staring. Jared waits from where he's nesting on the corner of their couch, wearing his oldest, most favourite sweatpants, a TV dinner on his knees and a can of Bud at his elbow. Behind him, he knows Jensen sees the wreckage of the dinner table with its chewed up candles and scattered beans. And behind that, Sadie, lying with her head on her paws in the woeful, I've been a bad, bad girl pose. He chews his mouthful of potatoes and gravy, swallows and says, come on over here, would you? Jensen carefully puts down the bottle of wine he had tucked under his arm. What's going on here, man? I'll tell you in a minute. Come here. Jared holds his arms open for Jensen to crawl into it. And after a minute, he does. Jared closes his eyes and sits, soaking up the smell of cold November air and the chill on Jensen's ears, breathing him in, plain and simple once you figure him out. Home. This is what it's all about, he says, knowing it's too oblique to be understood. Yet. Hey, sit right there for a sec, okay? Jensen grins at him, curious and amused, as Jared balanced fork and TV dinner tray atop his beer can and stands, popping out his joints. What's gotten into you? Was that some kind of romantic dinner? Was. Once upon a time. I'll clean it up later. Jared. Jensen catches his hand and squeezes the fingers. Thanks. They both know that's got more than one layer to its meaning. Love you, man. Yeah. Jared bends at the waist to sneak one too quick kiss, parting despite the way Jensen's lips cling to his when they part. No more advice. He's doing this his way. So instead of going down on one knee, he folds himself cross-legged at Jensen's feet and pokes around under the couch until his fingers close over the dusty velvet box. He pops it open, tugs a silver band free of its mooring, and snags Jensen's hand. As the ring goes over Jensen's suddenly tense finger, he looks up with his best, most blinding grin, happy as he wanted to be in this moment, and says, guess what we're gonna do? The wedding is awesome. Eric Kripke cries and Kim Manners catches every minute on high def. They have red velvet cake with chocolate icing and a plastic impala perched on the top. Just because. Steve plays a song for the first dance, Chris crooning something soft and sexy and sweet by his side. Megan socks them both in the arm and gets whirled away by Mike, followed fast on his heels by a jealous Tom. His mama tells a story over and over to everyone who'll listen. And as they turn in slow circles in the middle of the cleared-away parquet to the tune of rhythm and blues, Jensen shakes his head and reaches up to kiss Jared. Next time you get a bright idea like this, tell me about it first, huh? The end.